We're going to continue today in our series on healing. We could actually preach on healing all year long, but I know that because of the short amount of time we have together, you know, once a week on about an hour, hour and a half with you, we got to cover a wide range of topics. Our church is a big wheel that turns slowly over the course of a year. We cover family, finances, healing for your body, righteousness, everything that's a part of the kingdom. As much as the Lord leads me in, it's a good variety around here. But you know, we're going to probably wrap up today, maybe next week, on this series of healing for our bodies. But again, we can't say enough about this. Yeah, we could preach on it all year and it wouldn't be enough. We could just go year after year, amen? But you got to take this home and digest it, work on it in your own personal life. This is a shot in the arm. Every week is just a shot in the arm for you to go home and do something with the Word, amen? So let's open in a word of prayer, ask the Lord to bless it. Father, we thank you for your goodness here today. We thank you for all that you're doing in us who believe, Lord. We thank you that your power is at work in us who believe. The power of Jesus, the power of the resurrection, the same Spirit that rose him from the dead is at work in us and in our lives, resurrecting in us, Lord, your life, resurrecting dreams and hopes and promises you've put in our lives over the years. And we thank you that now as we hear the word today, that even now, Holy Spirit, you breathe your life into it. And your anointing, Lord, to give us ears to hear what you want to say to us. Teach us in these few moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them. They are health to all their flesh. We pointed out to you last week, I want to revisit this idea, that your hearing is tied to your healing. Amen?
Amen.
That your seeing is tied to your healing. Amen? Hold your finger right there and turn to Matthew 13. Keep it in keep a finger or a ribbon or something in Proverbs 4, and then flip over to Matthew chapter 13. We don't often think about this, but many times repentance is tied to your healing.
Amen.
And by repentance, we don't mean groveling in the dirt, crawling over glass, and whipping yourself and beating yourself in self-punishment. No, but repentance means having a change of mind, having a changed outlook in some area of your life. In Matthew 13, verse 14, Jesus said this. I'm reading from a modern translation compared to King James. In them is fulfilled, in them is talking about the Jewish people, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, quote, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart, talking about the Jewish people's heart, has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and what? Turn. Turn. Your turning sometimes is tied to your healing. Did you know that? Because we do dumb stuff, right? Sheep wander off. They do. They wander off. They wander away from truth. They wander away from soundness, from holiness, you name it, everyness that there is to wander off from. We're good at wandering off from it. And so from time to time, the shepherd does what? He doesn't beat you with the rod. No, he takes that crook and pulls you back, turns you around, says, go this way. What is that? That's the turning. And Jesus said here, otherwise they might turn and I would what? I would heal them. Sometimes your turning is tied to your healing. Isn't the Lord so gentle? Sometimes he'll just correct one little thing. Stop eating that. Get a little more sleep. Don't take that vitamin. Take this vitamin. Don't drink that. Drink this. One little tweak in our life can be the key to our healing.
Amen. Amen.
It comes from seeing. It comes from hearing. It comes from having a heart that understands and turning when the Lord says turn. That can be a part of your healing. So don't limit God. Don't limit God when it comes to healing. Don't limit him and how he can restore your body. I'm talking about physical healing. It can come a number of ways. How many of you have seen that to be the case? You've seen the Lord, you know, make adjustments to your diet or adjustments to your exercise routine or some silly thing you were doing so dumb over here. And when he makes the adjustment, all of a sudden healing comes. Duh. Didn't have to go down and pay Memorial Hermann somebody, you know. Just made an adjustment. I've had it happen in my life. It'd be embarrassing to tell our horror stories on this one. But, you know, a slight adjustment can make a world of difference.
That's right.
Back in Proverbs 4, verse 22, "For they are life unto those that find them. They are health." The Hebrew word there for health is marpe, M-A-R-P-E, marpe. They are health to those that find them. Marpe. Say marpe.
Marpe.
It's a Hebrew word, and it literally means medicine. Literally means medicine. Right there where it says they are health to all their flesh. That last part of verse 22. Health. Say health.
Health.
Health in the Hebrew is marpe, and it literally means medicine. This book is full of healing words. This book is medicine for your soul. It's medicine for your life. And Jesus said, if you will hear it, see it, understand it, let it turn you, I will heal you. Because these words are medicine. Listen, doctors are okay. I want to say this as a disclaimer. Maybe from the last couple weeks, anything I could have said may have, you know, put a question mark in your head. I'm not opposed to doctors. They are helpers that God uses. They are tools in the hands of God to assist with what Jesus does, which is heal us. Sometimes we get a little out of balance and we pray prayers like, you know, it's almost like, Jesus, if you want to come on the scene, the doctors are doing everything they can to for so-and-so or for me. And yes, Jesus, will add your input too. No. Jesus is the healer. The doctors are tools in his hands. Amen. Use them. But don't lean on them. Don't trust in them. They're a tool in God's hand to help you heal. But Jesus is your healer. His words are healing to your body. And the doctors are just there to help you. Jesus isn't just there to help them, as if they were the greater element in the picture. Are you with me? Let's keep it in balance as believers. Believers, we're not so extreme we say don't go to doctors. We'll go to doctors. But Jesus is our healer. He's our primary care physician. And these guys are assisting him. He's not assisting them. He's doing the healing. They're assisting him. Are you with me? You know, a good doctor will heal you. A bad doctor will. I don't want to say it. A bad doctor is a bad thing. I went to a lady's side one time. She was in a hospital, and she, you know, Tara and I went up to pray with her, and she said, "You guys got to pray for me. Lay hands on me quick. These guys are trying to kill me here." I thought, what? I was too young to appreciate that, but and I've never had to be in a situation like that, except I've heard horror stories from other people. But she literally thought, these guys are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. What I'm paying them for to bring healing to my body. So a bad doctor, you want to pick. And this is why you need to pray. When you go to the medicine bottle, when you go to the medicine cabinet, when you go to the hospital, pray. Amen. You know, the bad doctor might be off duty that day, and God gives you a better one that will assist him with the healing that he's doing in you. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 4, you got the idea. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We read this verse last week. I want to look at it again. 2 Corinthians 4:13. In our early days, our first church business card had this scripture quoted on it because I felt like it was sort of an intro theme that the Lord had given us as a church. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. We have in the same spirit of faith. Say, same spirit of faith. Spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. That was our business card logo. We believe, therefore we speak. Amen? Yes. That's the spirit of faith. Paul's quoting from the book of Psalms. It's actually quoted in Psalm 116:10, if you want to write that out beside the verse there. That's where he's quoting from the Old Testament with the same spirit of faith. Now, David said there in Psalm 116, he said, I believed, and therefore I spoke, and in my grief. He's actually, if you look in the context of the Old Testament reference, David was actually pouring out his complaint to God. Which is amazing to me that the Holy Spirit would tap Paul on the shoulder when he's writing the book of Corinthians and have him quote this Old Testament complaint, if you will. David said, I believed, and in my anguish I cried out to God. So David's actually pouring out complaint to God. He's crying out to God. And Paul called that the spirit of faith. But, you know, the Holy Ghost He interprets his word the way he wants. I mean, I'm not going to question it. I think it's amazing how the Holy Spirit pulled from that Old Testament verse. But he says here, David had a spirit of faith, and we too have a spirit of faith. Now, if you think about it, David, when he faced Goliath, he was about age 17. David walked in a spirit of faith even at age 17. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, teenagers can have a spirit of faith. Children can have a spirit of faith. Caleb, at age 85, wasn't, you know, sitting around carving out handles for his rocking chair. No, he was practicing spear chucking because he was ready to go into the promised land. He had waited 40 years for that. 45 years, actually. He was 85. And he said, I'm as strong today as back then when Moses called me to go spy out the land. He said, give me this mountain. What is that? That's the spirit of faith.
Amen.
The spirit of faith says, I'm not sitting down. God's got one more mountain for me to conquer. Give me this mountain. That's a spirit of faith. Praise the Lord. I heard this said the other day. It's really good. To change your scenery, you got to change your sound. You got to say something. David, before he slew Goliath, he actually said what he was believing God for. You know that from the story? He said, today, we're going to feed the birds of the air, your flesh, and we're going to cut off your head. I'm going to kill you. David said something. The spirit of faith always speaks. Faith must be released. It's like having a gun. You never pull the trigger of it. I don't care how great the bullets are in there. You could have the hollow tip and, you know, the high velocity and, you know, amazing specs on this gun. But if you cock it and have the bullet in the chamber, but you never pull the trigger, it might as well just be a brick. When it comes to dealing with evil. Listen, you are potent in the Lord. But the spirit of faith must speak. You must release the words of God for the power to be seen. Praise the Lord. You want to change your scenery? Change your sound. That's a good slogan. I like that. Mark 11. Turn over to Mark 11, please. We're going to build some faith in you today. Are you ready for that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Mark 11, 22. Mark 11. Remember what I've said many times. Read the Bible slowly. It's very important. You get more out of it when you chew on it slowly. Like, you know, like when you chew your food, you digest better. And Jesus answering saith, let's stop right there. Mark 11, 22. Jesus answering saith. I just want to point out to you that Jesus was primed, practiced, and constant in saying. Are you with me? Jesus answering saith. Jesus had his mouth in alignment and he used it. He had a spirit of faith and he didn't sit on it. He didn't muffle it, didn't mute it. No, Jesus answered things. He answered a fig tree once. It's not everybody that walks by a tree and talks to it, but Jesus did. He was accustomed to answering. All right? He answered saying unto them, have faith in God. The Young's literal translation says, have the faith of God, I believe. Another translation says, have God's faithfulness. In other words, God's staying power, right? Faithfulness in the sense of God doesn't quit. Have the faith of God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, say whosoever.
Whosoever.
Listen, the words of this book, when they're planted in the soil of your heart, will work for anybody if they will work them properly. Whosoever. It's just like John 3:16. He's a whosoever God. If you don't work them, they won't work for you. If you work them, they will work for you. Jesus said, whosoever shall, what? Say, underline, circle, highlight that word. It's powerful. Unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall, what? Believe, that's the other aspect, that those things which he saith, underline, highlight, circle, flashing lights, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You shall have whatsoever you saith. That's a promise from the word of God. It has no respect to person. It's a whosoever promise. Say that with me. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Let's say it again together. He shall have whatsoever he or she saith. Okay? That's God's promise to you. Now notice here, Jesus said, believe once, say three times. Which is harder to get Christians to do? Brother Hagin spent a good deal of his ministry. The Lord took him in a season where there's a famous picture. I have not seen it, but I've heard of it, where he's holding a 3-1. And the point is, God, 3-1, he says, say, in Mark 11:23. 3-1. You believe one time. For every one time you believe, God wants you to say it 3 times. For every faith that's in your heart, he wants you to say it at least 3 times. Let's put it that way. At least 3 times. And he spent a good deal of his ministry motivating and hammering in this truth with believers. You must say something. You must release your faith. It's not enough to have it in your heart. You must say, whosoever saith unto this mountain. You say, well, Pastor, saying the same thing over and over and over again can be so boring. Yes, it can. And sometimes it feels like nothing's happening, right? And when you're speaking to a mountain, yeah, things been there a while. It may take a while to move a mountain. Amen? But I want to teach you something. It's through repetition that we water the seed of God's word. It's through repetition. Repetition. Say repetition.
Repetition.
Say it again.
Repetition.
One more time.
Repetition.
It feels boring, but it's through repetition that we water the seed. See, it's not just enough to plant. Most of us plant, and then when we don't see things happening, we go right back to a negative confession and do what? Dig up the seed. Any good farmer will tell you, you don't have to be a farmer. Probably a second grade education can tell you, that's not going to work. The seed's supposed to stay underground, and while it's underground, you do what? You water it, and you water it, and you water it day after day after day. Now, I haven't done a study on it, but I'm sure there are some plants that take longer than others. I know early on, in our church, one of the earliest sermons I preached back when we were at La Quinta, back, you know, probably about a year or two into our church, I had done a study. There was this special bamboo plant that they say it doesn't do anything for like the first 3 or 5 years. You plant the seed and it's just like underground, just laying there. You think it's dormant. It's doing nothing. And then in like the 4th or 5th year, it shoots up like 70 feet tall. It's crazy. And so there are plants like that. But, you know, a farmer dealing with that kind of plant would be very tempted to say, It didn't work. Forget it. Let's just, you know, dig that up and plant flowers or something, you know, put something else there. But no, in that 4th or 5th year, that thing, if you'll continually water, it will sprout. Amen? And so what I'm working toward today, like Brother Hagin, is to hammer into you this bulldog determination that I will not quit. I will not give up. I will water the seed of God's word, the faithful promise God's given you. If he's given you a promise, you hold on to it. You say it again and again and again. You water it every day, several times a day if need be, until you see that thing sprout and shoot up. Amen. And how many of you can tell me from experience, it's amazing when God does the harvesting, isn't it? When God causes something like that to grow, it's just amazing. I had something years ago, we were confessing over our finances. I think it was about 2.5 years I confessed it. I had my alarm go off on my phone 2 or 3 times a day. And every time it went off, I would say this certain word over our finances. Saw no change for about 2.5 years. And then all of a sudden, poof, breakthrough. Breakthrough. God will do it because he's a whosoever God. Amen. He doesn't play favorites. Doesn't play favorites. We're learning that in our Ephesians class, all these verses in Ephesians about predestination. People have warped them and misconstrued them and so forth. Those are talking about whole different things than what people have said. God does not play favorites. He's a just God. Amen. Aren't you glad? Jesus made, I mean, he's just a just God. He's fair to everybody. Now, watering happens through repetition. Another example is meditation. You know what meditation is? Biblical meditation. What is biblical meditation? It's chewing on a thought over and over and over again. Now, you do that with worry, especially sometimes moms with their children. It's easy to get into. You know, you have kids and you, what you do, you mull over in your mind, you know, the worst case scenario. I've done it before as a parent. You know, this could happen, da-da-da. And you let that thing roll in your mind until all of a sudden it gets you work up in a tizzy. Now, what is that? That is repetitious thoughts. You're watering fear. But God wants us to water thoughts of his word, his promise. Amen. That's called meditation. We'll teach on that another time. But meditation, what happens is when you meditate the word, when you repetitively say the word within yourself, I'm not talking about speaking outwardly, but letting that thought of scripture roll around your heart. When I have a hard time sleeping, I do what? I quote Psalm 23. My mother taught it to me as a little boy. I quote it in the King James. I literally usually can't get through the whole psalm, sometimes a psalm and a half, the whole chapter, and I'm out like a light. Why? Because the word has the power when we meditate on it to produce a wonderful fruit. And the fruit of Psalm 23, in my opinion, is good sleep. Amen. Because if the Lord's your shepherd, you want for nothing. Right? He makes you what? Lay down. It's good sleep. That's a good sleeping chapter right there. I heard a minister the other day sharing on, he was talking about the devil and how the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. You remember that scripture in Revelation? I think it's Revelation 13:8 or something. He says, Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren. Except he said, I had read that so many times, but when I was studying for this sermon, I realized I had skipped a word. It doesn't say Satan is the accuser of the brethren. It says he's the accuser of our brethren. And he said the Holy Ghost shed new light on that scripture. Why? Because he read it one more time. You see, you think you've learned it because you've read that verse before. Never have an attitude when we say, turn to such and such passage. Oh, I've read that one. Got it. It's never about information. See, in the world, when you go to college, when you go to, you know, high school education, whatever, everything in the world system is about information. This book is all about revelation. And no matter how many times you've read a verse in this book, you read it again and the Holy Spirit can go, whew, he breathes life because it's a living book. That's why he said, attend, look at, listen to, let your heart, you know, give itself to these words of mine, these marpe medicine words, and they will be life to your flesh. Amen. They will be life to you. Well, speaking of the devil, hold your place here. No, you don't hold your place any longer. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2:17. I mentioned the devil a minute ago. He's not my topic, but we can learn from him. I said we can learn from him. Yes. In his bad ways. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2. We just read through 1 Thessalonians this week in our chapter reading. We read a chapter a day, Monday through Friday. And how many of you are going to read through the New Testament this year? Amen? You finish by December 31st, you'll be done with the New Testament. That's a feat for most Christians. Most Christians don't read their Bibles, honestly. They have Bibles, but they don't read them. And so we encourage you, come January 1st, those of you that haven't done it before, if you've never read the New Testament, read a chapter of the day with us. We'll start a new bookmark come the new year, and we'll read through the New Testament again in 2023 together. All right, 1 Thessalonians 2:17. Look at this. But brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. This book, 1 Thessalonians, by the way, if you want to see the heart of Paul toward the church, is a beautiful book. I mean, he just talks about his inner affections, his love, his devotion for the church. Look at verse 18. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did. Say it again. Again and again. But what happened? Satan hindered us or stopped us. Now I want you to learn something from the devil, because he's smart enough to do this, even though he's stupid. He does what? The same thing again and again. Why? Because it's a battle of wills to see who will cave first. It's like the game chicken. I never played it, but I'm sure there are guys in here that have hot rod drivers that have done chicken, right? They tell me, I know of the game. I've never done it. Have you ever done it, Alan?
No.
Okay, yeah. It's not our speed, is it? Where two cars come at each other, right? And at the last minute, one of them swerves. Dumb game. But you know, the devil is a bluffer. He'll hit you with a bad thought, unbelieving thought, worried thought, depressing thought once. But he doesn't just do it once. What did Paul say here? We wanted to come to you, Thessalonians, again and again. But Satan hindered us again and again. That is his modus operandi. Repetition. Repetition. And so the question is, who will outlast? Yes, believers will. Amen. Believers at Believers Fellowship. That's why we put the name on the sign. Believers Fellowship, right? We're doers of the word. We believe the word. We will, through repetition, we will outlast him. There's a wonderful verse in Nehemiah. It's one of my confession scriptures in my phone. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it says, I think his name was Sanballat, Tobias, right? The bad guys in Nehemiah's life. And it says, they came to me again and again, but I answered them the same way, again and again. That's how Nehemiah responded to his enemy. He did what? He gave him the same reply. The same reply. We've had a good book on the book table a while back by Nancy Dufresne. It's an excellent book. If you haven't read it, do we have any copies?
Which one?
Answer It.
Yeah.
We got some Answer It books. We'll put those out after the service. Just you need that on your way out. If you haven't read Answer It, you need to read this. It'll encourage your faith in how to reply to the devil. But the key is, who will outlast? Because we know from 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Satan comes to us, or Satan tries to hinder us again and again. And you must be more determined than he is.
That's right.
Through repetition. Through speaking the word. Amen?
Yes.
James 3. Look at James 3. I love these verses in James 3. I'm excited to share them with you. I know it, Owen. I know it. It's good stuff. James 3, verse 3. Are you there? When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn what? Say it. The whole animal, the whole body. I'm going to read that again. When we put bits, how big are bits? You horse people. Judy, where's Judy? How big's a bit? 4 inches. About the size of, you know, like this, like hook 'em horns, right? You put that little 4-inch piece of metal in a horse's mouth and you can do what? You can turn. And you look at a horse, their body is like muscle. Their whole body is a muscle almost. I mean, they're just like muscle. And yet that 4-inch bit, that little part, do like this right now. How long's your tongue? About 4 inches. That little thing can turn the whole body. Look at verse 4. Take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are what? Driven by strong winds. Underline driven by strong winds. American Christians, sorry to say, I heard a preacher say this the other day. I'm just repeating him. I'm not confessing it over y'all. But he said American Christians, the problem with them so many times is they just get up in the morning and they let life knock them around. Just shove them around whichever way it wants to go. And they just go with it. But James says here, though ships are so large and driven by strong winds, they're what? Steered by a very small rudder. Now, you really need to underline this. Highlight, circle, red pen, pink fluorescent, screaming bright. Wherever the pilot wants to go. I love that in the New International Version. That's an amazing phrase. Wherever the pilot wants to go. To go. Say that with me. Wherever the pilot wants to go. Well, where do you want to go? That's the question. This is a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer it right now. But where do you want to go? Do you need healing in your body? You want to move toward health? You need some joy in your life? You want to move out of depression into joy? You want to move out of poverty and lack and restraint financially into an abounding. You know what financial freedom is? It's not that you have to buy everything. It's that you're free to. That's financial freedom. It doesn't mean you do buy everything. But, you know, if you want that, yeah, you just get that. You don't look at the price. You just say, yeah, that's for me. The Lord has that for me because he fills me with good desires, his desires. Amen? That's financial freedom. You want financial freedom? Wherever the pilot wants to go. You take the rudder. How big is a rudder? Let's look at it again. I like it again in the it says it in the King James too. A very small, not small, say very small. Compared to the ship, the rudder is very small. Compared to your human body, your literal anatomy, your tongue is very small. But that thing can take your life wherever you want to go. Where do you want to go? I wrote this down. Listen, you can be driven by strong winds or you can be steered by a very small rudder. Now, if you're a sailboat and you got the sails aimed the right direction, those strong winds can help you, right? That's called momentum. You know, in the kingdom, momentum is so reverse of the world. In 2020, we had COVID hit the planet. And you guys gave more that year to the kingdom and to the Lord than we've ever received. When we look at the figures of the year-end figures are given, and we didn't do anything to pump you. mean, we took a couple months off in COVID year, right? We did parking lot church for 6 weeks. Some people don't want to sit in their car and have parking lot church, so they didn't show up. We did all offerings practically were through push pay. I mean, we took up, you know, some manual offerings. We took a month off in October, going into November. We came back in December. We took months off, and you guys gave more in a COVID year than you've ever given in 10 years history as a church, just about. That's mind-boggling. That is kingdom momentum. I said that's kingdom momentum. Kingdom momentum does the impossible and doesn't make sense. So listen, when you hear talk of recession on TV, you've probably been listening to the news too long. Just flip over to Food Channel, watch them make cookies or something. It'll cheer you up. It's a lot better for you than listening to those headlines. Because otherwise you start believing, oh, I'm in a recession. What does recession mean? We got to pull back. You guys ought to give more to your family in Christmas gifts this year than you've ever given. Why? Because you don't operate on the world system. You operate with kingdom momentum. You proved it in the COVID year. Amazing. Well, you know, a lot of people live as if they were a thermometer. A thermometer does what? It tells us the temperature in the room. That's why when you listen to the news, you're just listening to things as they are. I'm not saying it's bad. Just limit it, okay? Just limit the amount of news you soak in. Because we're not called to be a thermometer to listen to things as they are. We're called to be a thermostat. Yes. A thermostat does what? A thermostat sets the temperature. It says, yeah, I know it's cold in here, but we're going to warm. Wherever the pilot wants to go. Wherever the pilot wants to go. That's what a thermostat does. Where do you want to go? Keith Moore has a great sermon. If you have any kind of substance addictions, anything, go to his website. You can listen to this sermon for free. And he talks about a man who wanted to quit smoking. And the guy came forward for prayer at the altar, and he said, I want to quit smoking. He said, I just, no matter how hard I try, I can't quit. Those words came out of his mouth, literally. It's like taking the steering wheel of the boat and going, I can't quit. And Keith Moore said, we're going to start with step one. Every time you light up, you say, thank you, Jesus, for delivering me from smoking. He said, but Brother Keith, I'd be lying. I'd be lighting up a cigarette and I'd be lying through my teeth. He said, just say it. And the guy had prayed, he had fasted, he'd had hands laid on him for years from every preacher under the sun. And Keith Moore said about 2 or 3 weeks later, he saw this guy beaming at the back of the church. And came up to him, basically, long story short, said, you wouldn't believe what happened. He said, yeah, I would. Why? Because he changed what he said about himself. Stop saying, ladies, you say, no matter what I do, I can't seem to lose weight. Wherever that pilot wanted to go, that's where they went. Don't say that over yourself. You say, oh, come on, Pastor, I'm just talking about my eating habits. Yeah. It's a little bit, about 4 inches long, a very small rudder. And James also says in the same chapter, what a great fire a tiny spark can do, can light up a whole forest, can set a world ablaze. Amen? Whether we like it or not, say bad words about yourself and you're going to take your ship that direction. Change what you say. Kenneth Hagin spent a good deal of his ministry just trying to get Christians to change what they say. It's like that verse in Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed. How do you be transformed? You say something different. Yes, the man with the cigarette addiction, he was going this way, and Keith Moore said, yeah, but you've got to steer your car this way. You steer the car the way you want to go, not the way you've been going. Make sense?
Yes.
Makes faith?
And
this kind of change can only come through your mouth. You know, Jesus, even at Armageddon, is going to do what? He's going to defeat his enemies. Revelation 19:21. Sounds like a good year, doesn't it? 19:21. It's a good year. 19:21. Jesus will overthrow them with the word of his mouth. Yes. Thessalonians comments on the same thing. He says, they will be overthrown with the breath of his mouth.
Amen.
Jesus will fight the final battle here on earth. It will be fought with words. All he'd have to say is, disintegrate. And the person, the enemy would just, I mean, you know, why swing a sword when you can say a word? And that's what the Bible says in the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus will do. He will literally defeat his enemies with the breath of his mouth, with the word of his mouth. You say, yeah, but he's Jesus. I expect him to talk like that. Listen, when he was in the wilderness as a human, and he fasted 40 days, 40 nights, I guarantee you, he felt more hungry than he did spiritual. When the devil tempted him to make stones into bread, he felt more hungry than he did spiritual in that moment. He felt more tempted than he did spiritual in that moment. But regardless of his feelings, he chose to say something. See, we go by our feelings. I don't feel like by his stripes I'm healed today. No, I know you don't feel that because your body's telling you something different. You steer the rudder of your ship. You choose to say what the word says about your situation. We're not moved by our feelings. We're moved by a small rudder. And the small rudder is in your power and in my power to do with whatever we choose to do with. See, it's the power of choice. It's the power of choice. People who choose, steer. People who choose, steer. They say, I'm going this way, period. May feel like I'm going this way. May feel like I'm going down. My checking account says I'm in the red, and they're sending all these notices, and they're calling me with these horrible phone messages, and they're going to do this and send Tommy the knuckle, and it's just going to get worse. But I don't care what I feel, what's around me. I say this. I steer this way. My God supplies my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You can steer, or you can be steered. You can be driven by strong winds, or you can steer the rudder of your ship and the rudder of your life with your words. And listen, saints, all I have to do to start the change today is pick up this book, find a promise or two, and start saying it. Start saying it. Keep it before your eyes day and night, night and day, day and night. Why? Because repetition is how we water the seed. Repetition is how you water the seed of God's truth in your life. Through repetition. That boring thing that's just taking a little bit of water. Boop. There it is. You come back tomorrow, sprinkle it some more. Come back the next day, you're seeing no change, but what do? You faithfully water the seed over and over again. And if you need change quicker, you water it more frequently. Yeah. Shared with you last week about a water jet. How many of you men have ever run a water jet? I've never seen one in real life. But it can cut through 8 inches of steel with a beam of water. I don't know how they do that, but it's obviously high velocity and a great volume of liquid pouring into that steel. And they can cut steel with a water jet. You can too. If you'll say something over your life. I want to give you some faith examples as we close out today real quick. Share as much as we have time for. How much time you got? Yeah. I'm just kidding. I'll be respectful. First of all, from Christ the Healer, one of my favorite stories in the back of the book, page 234, The Healing of Mrs. Nix. I've read it before. Let it bless you again. You newbies, listen up. In October, I was healed by the power of God from, here's the list, cancer, sugar diabetes, enlargement of the heart, a twisted spine, almost total paralysis from the hips to the feet, the condition of being a nervous wreck, and of almost total blindness. Wow, that's a list. I had suffered from the cancer for 1.5 years and from the other troubles for 7 years. This is Mrs. Nix talking. I walked only with crutches, and when I went out, it was in a wheelchair. The doctor who treated me said a few weeks ago I had been one of the greatest sufferers he had ever known. After the 12th of October, I had a bad spell and sent for the doctor. He said I had about 10 days to live and no more. On October the 15th, this is 3 days later, a little man who was in the habit of bringing my newspaper came to the door and inquired as to my condition. He asked to see me, but was told that I undoubtedly would not recognize him. But before he went out, I knew him, but I was unable to speak to him. He said, Mrs. Killick, who had been healed of a terrible cancer, is coming here. Would you like to see her? I nodded assent. She came to see me and told me that God wanted to heal me. She read the Bible to me and prayed, but but I do not remember now what she said. She sang a hymn, and I do remember that it was, quote, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Now, there's nothing in that. It's a great hymn. Doesn't say anything about healing in it, but she read that hymn over this lady, sang it over. She departed, saying she'd come back that evening. I lay in bed thinking, and when my friend who was taking care of me came in, I said, if God has healed that woman, he will heal me. I asked the Lord plainly what he would have me to do, and I heard him say plainly, listen, what did she do? She listened for the word of the Lord. She said, what would you have me do? And the Lord said, put on your shoes and stockings. My friend said, dear, you can't get up. But she brought the shoes and stockings. She lifted my foot to dress it, and I felt no difference. But the moment the stocking touched my foot, I felt the power of God touch my body. I started at my feet, and just when I was obeying the command and spread out all over my body, I got up on my feet, and although I had not stood for 4 years, I asked to have my clothes brought to me, and I dressed all alone. I walked into the bedroom and did up my hair. My friend asked, what are you going to do now? I said I was going to help her get supper. She asked me what I was going to eat, and I told her the same thing she was. Previously, I had eaten only eggs and orange juice. Now, that's okay for a day or two, but it can get old fast. I ate just what she ate, and I went to bed at 9 and slept until 6 in the morning. I could not stay in bed, but I got up and ate breakfast and washed the dishes and asked God what he would like for me to do to glorify him. I heard him say, wax the floor. The tempter said, you can't do that. You've not been on your knees for years. I waxed the floor from end to end, and Mrs. Killick saw it completed when she returned in the afternoon. She said, I'm going to give my testimony in the little Salvation Army hall. Would you give yours? So she offered to get a car to take me down, but I refused and walked all the way. When I reached there, the power of God so overcame me, I could not speak. I remained but a few moments. From that hour to this, God has given me strength and guided my steps. Last summer, I had charge of one of the largest summer homes of the Anglican Church. I often worked from 6 in the morning until 2 or 3 o'clock the next morning. The next morning. I have been feeling perfectly well ever since my healing, except for an attack of pneumonia from which the Lord delivered me without the aid of medicine or a physician. My testimony has been a means of blessing to many. Some of the girls attending our own little mission hall, which I was led to open in faith, have been converted and healed through it. Do you wonder that I love God? He's blessed me spiritually as well as physically, and I'm sure I'm the happiest woman on earth. Mrs. Nix, Christ the Healer. Get the book. Oh, I love that. What a list. All right, here's another one. Can you take another one? Got enough Kleenex handy? Okay. Here's another story. This story comes from Brother Norval Hayes' book, How to Live and Not Die. We'll have this on our book table soon, I believe. Brother Norval relays the story of an 81-year-old woman who had taken the care of a young boy who was crippled, blind, and deformed in his body. She would drag him across the floor, and every day she would confess over him, walk in the name of Jesus. You are going to walk in the name of Jesus. And at night she would pray to God and say, God, give this young man a talent. Give him some talent that will glorify your name. Well, she continued this for, count them, 3 years. 3 years, she saw no changes. One night, she and her husband went to bed. They were awakened by piano music in the other room. And the husband looked over at the wife and said, I think you left the TV on. And she got up, went to the hall, looked in and saw this boy healed in his limbs, seated at the piano. Jesus had healed him and led him over to the piano, and he played, they said, like Liberace. Gave him the talent she had prayed for 3 years. Amazing, huh? What's the key? Repetition. Who's going to outlast who? The devil or you? Amen? Can you take one more? A lady who attended a Nazarene church stood on one verse of scripture and saw her twisted, deformed daughter made completely whole and become a worldwide evangelist. I actually heard this woman speak when I was a little boy. When I read this story last night as I was looking over my notes, I thought, I actually went to a service. I heard this lady. When I was a boy, my mom drug me to Pasadena, Texas, and I heard at some church there, I remember it was like a night service, and we heard this lady get up and speak, and this was the lady that Norval Hayes writes about in this book. This Nazarene woman read in the word that Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So she said with her mouth, Jesus, you said all things are possible to him that believes. I love you, Jesus, and I believe for you to come to my house and make my daughter normal. Then she never wavered. The Nazarene woman went on, every day, every week, every month, every year. She said, Jesus, I believe for you, Jesus, to come to my house and make my daughter normal. Her daughter was so twisted and crippled that when she came forth out of the womb, that she had to be fed through her veins. Everything about her was deformed. And still the mother said, I believe for you to come to my house and make my daughter normal. How long did she say it? How long did she believe it? She believed it and said it for 14 years. If you get tired at 12 years, it won't work. Just don't ever get tired. In the 14th year, Jesus said to her, your faith has pleased me. Now that's scriptural. Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. But Jesus whispered in her ear at year 14, your faith has pleased me. I'm going to come to your house and heal your daughter, he said. And that's exactly what Jesus did. The word of God will get Jesus to manifest himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. So on the day Jesus told this mother he was going to come, a little white cloud began to form in the living room. Now that's something unusual. The wind began to blow around the house and the cloud got bigger and bigger in the living room. All of a sudden, Jesus appeared, stepped out of the cloud, walked over to the wheelchair, and laid his hands on the deformed girl. Her jawbone began to pop and crack. It became normal and straight and smooth. All of her bones began to pop and jerk. The little girl was made totally normal. She leaped out of the wheelchair and began to run and jump with her totally healed body. Her back had been so twisted and knotted that the doctors at Mayo Clinic said it's impossible for her to ever be normal. Every knot on her back disappeared and her backbone was totally healed. All this happened because a mother confessed and believed one verse of scripture for 14 years and didn't give up. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. Saints, we give up far too soon. You know, sometimes the doctors will send you home with a medication and say, now you need to take this each time you take a meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You take these meds, you take one of these pills. How many of you ever had that, right? You know, if you ever have a Z-Pack, that you have to take all those pills up front, 5 or 10 pills the first day, and 7, you kind of taper it off. So we're used to taking meds on a regular basis. What we're not used to doing is taking this medicine on a regular basis. But if your situation is dire enough, I want to encourage you, take it with every meal. And it only need be one verse. I mean, this woman stood on a verse and saw her deformed daughter healed on one verse, that all things are possible with God. Take your medicine as regular as you would a meal. I've got some areas in my life right now I'm wanting to see change. Guess what? I'm steering my ship. I'm turning that little rudder, and I'm going to see it because that's the way I want to go. And the scripture promises wherever the pilot wants to go, if he'll turn his words that direction, that's where he'll go. And so I take my promises 3 times a day. Every time I sit down to meal before I eat, I'll go, oh, it's that time again. Repetition. But he is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals us, the Lord that heals us. This book contains his very breath, the very words that will destroy the work of Satan in our life and in our bodies. Amen. This is medicine. It's health to all our flesh. It is marpe. It is medicine, literally. Those who take these words, find them, the book of Proverbs says, and take them and speak them, will find life. Amen. And health to all their flesh. Stand together with me, please. Praise the Lord. And so it's not just these written words, it's the living word that the Holy Spirit speaks into your heart. Remember that. You know, the woman, Mrs. Nix, that got down and waxed the floor. Why did she do that? Because she heard not just Proverbs, she heard the Holy Spirit's word, the living word. He will quicken these words, but you got to start here. Start in the book and then listen for his voice. Amen. And follow what he says to do, and you will be healed. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Let's give him thanks. Thank you, God, that you're a just God, that you made heaven and the kingdom of heaven available to all of us. You said, whosoever will. Whosoever will. say unto this mountain. Oh, Holy Spirit, make us those believers who are active as Jesus was active in saying, insane. Activate our mouths now, today, from this day forward. Empower us to turn the ship of our life in your direction. You're so good, God. You're so good. You're so good. Thank you for your faithfulness. You're faithful and true. Can we just tell him that for a moment? Faithful and true. Say it again. You're faithful and true. Thank you, Father. Your words are life. They are health to all our flesh. They are medicine to us, and we receive them with gladness today. Lord, let this word bear fruit in us. Make us not just a happy hearer, but a doer of it. Those who say, those who water, and those who reap. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. If you're here today, before we close out, I want to give everyone a chance to either be saved or return to the Lord. Would you just bow your heads for one another moment? And if you say, Pastor Scott, I've not been born again. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need my sins washed away. I want to be made a child of God. If that's you today, raise your hand real high. We're going to pray a salvation prayer together in just a moment. Invite Jesus into your life. Not going to embarrass anybody. Or if you say, I've been away, I've been rebelling, but today I want to come home to the Father. I'm like that prodigal son in the story, and I want to return to Jesus today. If that's you as well, raise your hand at this time, please. And let's acknowledge what the Holy Spirit's doing in your heart. Anybody at all, you say, I'm returning to Jesus today, or I want to give my life to Jesus for the first time. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's pray this prayer together. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to die in my place, to bear my penalty, my sin. Thank you for his precious blood that washes my sins away. Forgive me, God. Make me your child, for I have sinned. Restore me and bring me back to you. I believe that Jesus died, that he rose the third day, and that he is seated at your right hand as your Son and my King and my Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Take the word and listen, do something with it. Turn your motor on. Steer your ship. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you tonight at the movies.